You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Ivana Timiljanić. She's calling from Belgrade, Serbia. Ivana, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Brainerd.
So Ivana, to begin talking about your work, which I'm familiar with, can you just tell us what you're working on at the moment?
Mm-hmm. First, I would like to make maybe a short introduction to what I've been into in the last couple of years, because it's very much into what I'm interested in right now. And for let's say, maybe even full 5 years now, I'm very much occupied with emotional violence against women. I'm creating different, very subtle ambience there, in which I'm trying to materialize somehow this invisible thing or problem or however you call it. This came out to be very important, actually, especially knowing the country I'm coming from and the region I'm from. Because in our region it is not even the radical violence, even the most radical violence is not treated actually institutionally efficient enough or fast enough, so that something that doesn't even leave any physical marks, it's usually you know, in public sphere, it's not even recognized as violence all the time. So I'm really, really very happy that these my installations really helped a lot, that this comes to visibility. And also not only that I made this ambience, but also I got in touch with Women Against Violence Network, and I really became close friends to many of the women activists in the region, among which Autonomous Women Center from Belgrade actually helped me a lot. And so during each of these shows, and there were really kind of number of those in Serbia and in surrounding countries, I always organize accompanying talks and different kind of you know, discussions or some screenings, or so we talk about the subject from some with the authority that I was first thinking that I don't have as an artist. So this is why I started these collaborations, but it came out to be really very, very valuable and very good, and it put together two of these spheres that actually have nothing in common, which is the field of contemporary art and public that follows this field, and also this activist sector that is totally into violence against women subjects. So these two actually never they don't come together, at least not very often. So in these projects, this all became very relevant, and I'm really very happy of the way it came out actually. And so right now I'm actually in Belgrade to. I started producing something totally different from this personal view.
Oh, wait a minute. Before you talk about exactly what you're producing, and I do want to hear that exactly, I want to also talk a little bit about the subject of violence towards women. And you, at the beginning, you said emotional violence. Can you, and you've done all this other work and symposiums, but let's talk about exactly what that means. Just to talk about the issue for a minute, what does that mean to you? Exactly what kind of violence that, as you were saying, doesn't leave noticeable scars?
Mm-hmm. There are plenty of these invisible types, but emotional by itself is everything that puts you down, that humiliates you, that somehow takes human dignity from you. So And every woman that actually felt this on her skin knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, what's the material I'm making exhibitions out of is something that I called Diary of Insults, when I personally had this kind of relationship lasting 3 years actually. And so at from one point I actually I understood what is going on, and also it is a very complicated process, so that it is not even nearly over when you realize how is it called and what's going on at home, let's say, because it is very complex and you are really totally weak and shamed, and you don't go to professionals or to friends with this because you feel guilty and responsible for the situation as well, and so on. So I first started collecting these sentences I've been told on a daily basis. Didn't even know, of course, that I would use it someday. It was just, I don't know, my way to let's say, deal with it. And after I got out with a huge help of my family and these activists from women organizations that I mentioned, and when I was feeling very well again, I was so happy, and I thought that I have some responsibility to do something with this experience, because if I don't, then if nothing happened. And I've learned myself how difficult it is to come on your feet, to stand alone again, you know. So this is how it all started, actually. And maybe some other things that I could mention, so that maybe people who are totally unfamiliar with the subject could get some idea. I don't know, ways of controlling a partner, controlling also finance and incomes of your partner, forbidding your partner to, I don't know, to see mostly her friends. Yeah, it's very rarely other way around. So yeah, I mean, all of the other means except of physical violence itself. And actually, the researches show that at some point, this psychological pressure is not enough. So this is the time when physical violence comes up. I hope I was clear about it.
you are clear. You are clear. And I mm-hmm. think, as you're saying, of course, the women listening know immediately what you're talking about. And mm-hmm. And I, of course, you know, am sympathetic and understand what you're talking about from a different perspective. But of course, there's in this country we call it, there's economic abuse, there's mm-hmm. there's psychological abuse, there's emotional mm-hmm. abuse, where it's everything from restricting money to restricting movement, as well as damaging self-esteem.
Yeah.
So this is obviously an incredibly important subject, and you know, especially when we look at this horrific election that just happened in the United States, mm-hmm, where we elected mm-hmm. somebody who is an admitted abuser of women. So mm-hmm. so let's talk a little bit about, and I imagine that's reverberating around the world, you know, to some mm-hmm. degree, what it means for someone like that to be in power here. That has admitted not just, you know, we're not talking about subtle, he's admitted to assaulting women physically.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about your work and how that speaks to this. Some of your projects. Let's if you could talk about one of those.
Yeah, sure. What I want to underline again is that you need to be aware of different context in the States and in this part of Europe. So what is not physical violence is actually, you know, when someone beats someone, that everyone is against it and they are like, like, oh, go get him, and you know. But about these very subtle things, people think it's the majority still think that it's like a personal thing, that you don't have the right to intervene there, you know. So there are a lot of women that are totally out of self-esteem and totally out of human dignity, and they don't even know that it's not normal, whatever normal is, but that you don't need to live like that, that you are for better. So this is why this is something very specific. It would be something totally different if I would show it somewhere when it's much better treated through, you know, competent bodies in the state, you know. And speaking of these works of mine, I used I had some for years, and it is still going on. I have some series of long-lasting dancing performances, which we could leave for some other occasion. But from out of each of these, I have a lot of photos, of course, and from all of these documentation, I took some of the photos, and these figures, which is actually me dancing. I use these shapes as some, let's say, shablons, and I fulfill these shapes directly on the walls it's like wall drawings. I write it's like in handwriting these texts from this diary of insults. So each figure has one sentence, which is endlessly repeated, and since it is very simple and hard pencil on the wall, it is hardly visible. So when you enter the space, you don't even see the figures on the walls immediately, but of course as you walk around and come closer to a certain wall, you see that there's something on, and then when you come closer, you recognize these bodies in movement. You're not sure what the composition is. Are they quarreling? Are they, I don't know, trying to protect themselves from something? Are they dancing or what, so on? And then you see that the bodies are made of letters. You come closer and you read. And these sentences are also taken out of the context. They're very hard to understand in a right way, because some of these are, I don't know, you will remember me, or look what you made me do, or you think someone finds you attractive, or you are only competent about your rights, nothing here belongs to you, and so on. There are really plenty of this kind of sayings. So that some are a bit funny, or you're actually not sure what is it about. And there's also a sound in which I'm saying word by word some of these sentences as well. But for the sound installation, I use really the strongest one, these which are directly insulting or humiliating or so on, so that... and also I didn't say it, it was recorded word by word and put together in a sentence in editing, so that it sounds maybe some language course or some telephone machine or something like that. So it doesn't sound human. So again, it's, you don't know at the first time, it's like a bit funny I shit on your dignity, something like that, or I don't know, your tits suck, or this kind of stuff. And it goes every 15 or 20 minutes, so it is very, possible that you are a very, very detailed viewer and that you miss the sound, for example, and I'm totally okay with this, because it is very, very difficult to catch to realize that someone even close to you has this kind of problem, because the person herself is ashamed to show it, and also you don't see any marks on her, and you don't hear any noises by night or something like that. So this, I don't know, people say that it is really, once you get it, you really have this ache in stomach. And this I just explained one of the, let's say, the most simple versions, but there are more complicated settings with black lights or something like that. So some are more complicated. But what I really, what I find very valuable about this is that it somehow made me believe in this power of art again. So I'm sure I'm not unique in this, that in couple of years or every couple of years you get a bit exhausted of this, you know, applying all the time and the art system as it is today or something like that. So you get a bit fed up with all of this. And things like this actually bring me back to, you know, to have this true belief in art, because I was, and I'm always again and again truly touched by these reactions of people and the comments I'm getting and emails of people I don't know, and so, and they're all they're saying, but it is exactly how it is, you know, you really catch something that you cannot see. And I think, but because I know it exactly, you know, I was not studying it. It was my case as well. So this is this again.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the dialogue that happens, because, you know, and how people react to these pieces. Because also, as you were saying, that there's cultural differences between how these some of these issues are perceived in the United States and in Serbia and other parts of the world. These are difficult issues that I would imagine different people react in different ways. As you were saying, women know exactly what you're talking about as soon as you begin this, whereas mm-hmm. I'm asking you for more questions and more details. When you see, when your works are shown, like the one you're describing, what is the kind of reactions or dialogue that you see coming from that?
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time the work was shown was in Telje in Slovenia, and it was a group show. It was actually just recently closed. And it was the first time that these figures with the text were actually foils on windows of a gallery. And the sound was, for the first time ever, it was, so the speakers were outside, so that people who were passing by could actually occasionally hear it. So you walk around and then you see, and then you hear "you whore." And so even while we were still setting on the show, I've of course seen plenty of people walking by who were really shocked by the sound, you know, and especially because the speakers were hidden in some construction above the gallery window, so that it's not actually clear, at least not at the first sight, where the sound is coming from. So this was actually something very, I don't know, new to me as well. I was really, really happy, especially because the gallery is at the basement of the municipality building of Telje, so that the mayor of Telje is also sitting above the gallery. So it's a center for contemporary art in Telje. And I was really, really amazed that, and
wow.
It was, you know, it's very important that these structures who are great deal responsible for not dealing with this more efficiently are actually hearing it, and they can, you know, someone can insult you as well, you know, and as an art project, so that you cannot even complain about that. But you know, and I'm also very I was very happy that the curator who was the curator for the first time actually, and I want also say her name, it's Mirjana Dragosavljević, she allowed, not only allowed, but she was very happy to host one of these talks during the show. And usually when it's a group show, people are like, oh, no, no, please don't make these talks. I mean, what does it have to do with art? And I of course think it's all connected, and and we are all from the same, let's say, from the, you know, from the same boat. So it was also very interesting that during this talk we had a local activist from a local organization as many times. And for example, I there was a person from Center for Social Work from Telia that was recommended through the organizers to take part in the conversation. And I'm openly against people from public institutions taking part in these my accompanying programs, because of the fact that I already mentioned that I think their inefficiency is a part of a problem. And of course there are many people in the institutions who are working their job very, very good, but all the, you know, publicity that you have for this subject, for example, it's most of it is for public institutions. So I like to make this space you know, open for these organizations who are on the, you know, on the spot, and who are first in contact for women who need help and who are experiencing or experienced domestic violence. So and also when it was a bit different talk, because among the visitors there were many of the artists participating in the show. And so these were all very highly educated people, and we all know each other, and we were working for a couple of days on setting the show. And some of which I know from some previous young left-wing organizations, and they are really, really wonderful young people who are organizing plenty of talks and something. So I think we should be on the same side. And they also had difficulties to follow the talk, because the talk was about the what does it happen from the inside? What is this that makes you allow other person to do these things to you? So it is not that simple, and it has some, there are certain steps that are always following each other. And, you know, and then the one young colleague is saying, well, everything is in emancipation, we should just more educate women. And I'm like, but, well, I'm perfectly emancipated, and I'm really nicely educated, and it didn't save me. So please, let's try to understand the problem, you know, how does it function, you know. So,
fascinating, yeah. Because really, yeah. It's the men or partners that need, of course, education.
Yeah, and but also they should know that it is not you know, that it is forbidden, that you are not allowed to do that. I don't mind if a person doesn't do it because it's a good person, or he's afraid of going to jail or something. But you know, the result is what I'm counting. So, and in our countries, maybe Slovenia is the best example of the ex-Yugoslavian countries, but in Serbia and in these other countries around us, it is actually not working very well. So, you know, there is, for example, I've been on some conference some days ago. There I've heard that Germany still haven't ratified some Istanbul Convention, which is very important in this joint and holistic approach to this problem. And Serbia and Bosnia and Montenegro are in first 10 countries who ratified this a couple of years ago. So Germany who is really a nice example in this field, thinks that they don't have a capacity to do what they would be, you know, obligated to if they ratify the convention. And Serbia ratified it, and but doesn't follow it. So it's totally ridiculous.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're doing this work, and that you are, you know, that you continue to do this. Before I ask the last question, should we talk about the next show that you're doing? Will it be a similar presentation to the one that you described?
I'll try to be very very brief. Well, what I'm interested in right now is some totally different perspective on invisible violence that exists. For example, so I'm kind of abandoning this personal point of view, and I'm searching the general symptoms in the country. Of course, my example is Belgrade and Serbia. I'm actually interested in institutional violence, in ways the state is violating its citizens by not protecting them from violence. So I have a series of some photographs of some really well-known buildings from Belgrade and fontanes from Belgrade, which are not some new buildings. These are, at least in my opinion, symbols of Belgrade or something that really is, you know, Belgrade's identity. So when you see these buildings, then you know that on a postcard or anywhere, you know we are talking about Belgrade. And so all of these buildings and fontanes have been renovated in last years. And they all have some very, very kitschy lighting, which is changing rainbow colors. So when I realized that, so I made this kind of round tour. It lasted actually for a full 2 years, because the fontanes are not working half a year or something like that. So I took this fully professional, very, let's say, straight photos of some of these buildings. It looks like really like postcard photo. Only with these colors changing. So when you take it out of the context, when you only have all of these photos on one place, my theory is that it comes out that rainbow colors and everything these colors represent are symbols of Belgrade, and that Belgrade is extremely proud of these values and of these rainbow colors, because that's what it shows all the time. And then with some accompanying materials, actually a lot of materials, I'm right now doing these researches and talks with different people, I'm showing the examples of totally the opposite from the reality, and of course from this field of human rights. There I'm showing several of these examples where states haven't done anything to protect its citizens. Just, for example, because they... I don't know. I have a testimony of a person who got beaten in a cafe just for looking like a lesbian, whatever it means. So these kind of things now I'm putting together with what turns to be a photography exhibition at the first sight.
Very good. It's I'm so glad we talked about this. That also sounds like a great way to move onward with your work. Before we go, I wanted to ask you, as I have been doing lately, are there any books or book you've been reading lately that you want to share them with us?
Well, I really enjoy reading. It's my perfect way to clear my mind to, you know, what other people find in, I don't know, TV or series or something like that. The most simple way for me is reading. And so I'm also a huge fan of literature in which I have a similar taste as in contemporary art. So I like heavy stuff. At the moment, actually, it's not that heavy at all. I'm at the very end of Sheila Hattie's How Should a Person Be? That I got long ago, it's like almost 2 years ago when I was visiting Toronto after some residency in Montreal. And so it was kind of 10 days ago it was Sheila Hattie's turn in my hands, and I'm really, really enjoying it. I would love to prolong the end somehow. It's so simple. The main character is a writer that has difficulties to write a play, and her best friend who is a painter. So their thoughts, their relation, and this. Friendship, female friendship, and also solidarity, and everything that they're experiencing is something that I think we all, in this field, that we could easily relate to. So it was really something very easy to read for me. And the other thing. Usually it's something is really like pure resting, and the other thing is some theory or some studies in other fields, which I'm just interested in or I educate myself out of or something like that, or something that helps me with some works. And something that I recently started is a study of Croatian linguist Snježana Kordić, actually. It is entitled Language and Nationalism, in which, in some really lovely, lovely and easy-to-read way, she is claiming that people of Bosnia, Serbia, Croatia, and Montenegro are all speaking one same language, which is polycentric standardized language, and at the same time how national ideologies in all of these countries, especially in Croatia and Serbia, are actually forcing differences in names of these languages, and because they are guided by, let's say, these romantic nationalistic idea from the end of the 18th century about the holy trinity of language, nation, and state. And so it's against purity in language, and the language is very much connected with this really rising nationalism in of course in all of the world, but I'm mostly interested in a local situation, of course. This is something that really triggers me right now. And there online I found a really nice review in English from one of the PhD candidates from Central European University in Budapest, and also Snježana Kordić lived many years in Germany and was researching in other countries, so I'm sure her works in linguistics are translated in many world languages. Even if I'm saying this because I'm reading this study in Serbo-Croatian.
I see. I'm so glad you shared those with us, and I really am glad you talked with me today. Ivana, I want to thank you so much for today.
And thank you, Brainerd, for having me. Thank you.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.